You know, I tried to, Nancy and I were talking on the way over here this morning that about preaching and dealing with people and living for the Lord, and I try to almost before every sermon, actually when I get up on Sunday morning, is to pray, God, if this were my last sermon, what would I want to leave with y'all? If this were it, what would I want you to remember about the last sermon you heard Pastor Elmer preach? And also, we started thinking about if you knew this was your last day on earth, would you be doing what you're doing right now? Would you be doing what you're doing right now? That kind of helps you with priorities, because we live in a day and time of convenient Christianity. If it's if I have time, we in these last days, we certainly need the family of God for encouragement, for hope. And you know, I told you many times, I'm not in the churchianity, but I am in the body of Christ meeting in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. I am for that. And I make no apology. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I didn't write that. I do proclaim that. So, if this were my last sermon, and I know we're going through the book of James, things we're going to look at today, I would stand before Christ with an open heart, thanking Him for giving me this sermon. Now, we've all seen on social media things like this. A Christian posts a controversial topic online, and it is just a few seconds bombarded. Arguments break out. I mean, people quoting scripture and throwing it in there. Most times, if you're without grace, they're just interested in winning an argument. Somebody will throw in there sometimes, well, you know what, let's pray before we talk any further about this. Some calmer heads would try to intervene. Usually it doesn't work. And we're going to see today that true wisdom doesn't rush to win arguments. When you have true wisdom, it seeks peace, if possible. All times it's not, but you want to seek peace. James reminds us that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. You sow peace to those who make peace. So when we do that, when we look at these seven characteristics today, you're going to see some things in your life. In our world today, we have more information than ever before. You can Google something and in seconds you've got the answer to that. But have you noticed we have a lack of wisdom? And we really don't know how to live in peace with one another. Just look at social media debates. I have to take a rest out of that stuff. I mean, just take a break. Arguments, debates, all kinds of situations that cause tempers to flare. Honestly, if you were in the room and talked to a person like that, you'll probably get in a fight. It would probably end in that way. And it's not really that you are jealous for the things of God and you want to live for God. It's that many times we want to prove that we're right instead of showing what's right. We want to win an argument. You can be theologically correct in some areas, and I'm a firm believer in theology. But you can handle that in a way that absolutely goes totally contrary to what you want to accomplish in those areas. So James is going to offer us a better way, and here's how he's going to do it. He's going to contrast. Last week we looked at earthly wisdom, that which is from below. And we saw that kind of wisdom is envy, pride, and selfish ambition. That's earthly wisdom. He's going to contrast that we looked at last week, without notes. We're going to look this week with notes about a heavenly vision, a heavenly wisdom, wisdom that comes from above, and it's going to be pure, it's going to be peace, loving, it's going to be gentle, it's going to be willing to yield, it's going to be full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. And so when we look at that, we're going to learn today, and we should, just comprehending some of this, that it's not always the loudest voice that communicates. Have you noticed on these talk shows? I don't watch them, Nancy does. She's into the soap operas. Okay, let's see about what I'm about to say and make sure that it's not as sarcastic as that last statement. We think loudness is communication. Loudness can be just shutting down everybody involved. It is not the loudest that really communicates. It's a, get this, because I've had to work on this in my own life. It is a calm, steady heart that reflects Christ. That's what wisdom from above looks like. So this morning we're going to explore that subject on wisdom that is from above. And the truth is, and I hope we grasp this, when God's wisdom fills your heart, peace will follow in your home, in your church, and in your own heart. Get that down. When the peace of God reigns in you, that's where it's going to show up, with peace in your heart. Why do I say that? Because the wisdom that's from above does not divide, it unites. It does not inflame, it heals. Wouldn't you like to be in a family, and maybe you are, and praise God for that, that you function without wisdom from above? I guarantee you, somebody's doing that, their home life's better, their marriage life is better, their work life is better. You are a minister of peace, and that radiates out to other people. So let's look at James chapter 3, 17 and 18, and let's pray. Father, I ask that you fill us with that heavenly wisdom. God, that wisdom that bears the fruit of peace and righteousness in our lives. God, I don't want this to be a service. We come, we leave, we go home, start another week. Thank you for what you're going to do, Holy Spirit, in bringing conviction and convincing to hearts who have ears to hear, and I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what James is actually going to do here, he says that the wisdom which comes from above will show it by the way we live. He's already talked about living faith will show itself. Now he's talking about living wisdom will show itself. And notice, this wisdom is from above. The Greek word there is sophia, and it means the ability to discern what's right and then act upon it. The ability to read, discern what's right, and then apply it. That's a person with wisdom. We saw last week that knowledge is accumulation of facts. Wisdom is the application of those facts. And so the character of heavenly wisdom is this wisdom that is from above. Circle the word above. You know what that tells me? Wisdom is a divine gift that comes from God. We have a lot of knowledge today, man. There are people educated. We have a lot of that. Very few have wisdom. Why? Because that wisdom is from above, and it's a gift of God. James has already spoken about this when he says, if you lack wisdom, what are you to do? Ask of God, and he will give it. It's his divine will. Don't you think our lives would function better if we were asking God for wisdom, discerning that, and then living that? Do you think your family would be in constant war? Would you be all uptight about work? Would you be hammering your children? I mean, I don't think we understand the need of wisdom that is from God. Now, some people have said to me in conversation, Elmer, I don't know how do you know if you have wisdom from above? I mean, there are people better than I am. I'm better than some people. I'm kind of in the middle. But I think I live a pretty good life. Is that the wisdom you're talking about? How can I know if I'm walking in the wisdom that is from above? Well, you're not going to have to ask any longer after today. You might give excuses for not doing it, but there will be no excuse when you look at these seven characteristics that James gives us that will be demonstrated in a Christian life if they're truly walking with God. Notice the first thing. It is pure. P pure. That means free from selfish motives. You're not doing what you're doing because you just want attention, or you want people to notice you, or you think it'll gain something for you. Those are impure motives. He says it is pure, which means it is not mixed or riddled in having your own agenda. Your agenda is his agenda. See, purity speaks to the heart that genuinely seeks God and to follow him. And that is free from corruption or deceit. You got it? That's what it means here when it says pure. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mean, think about it. Pure. Without deceit. You genuinely want to please God. And then notice the second thing. Second characteristic, peaceable. I love that word. It means harmony, not division. You want to live in harmony, not division. Do you want to really live in harmony with your husband or your wife, or with your children, or with your parents, or with at work? Do you really want to live in harmony? Folks, it's an inside job. These qualities are on the inside. And when you stop and think, it means actively pursuing peace in our relationships rather than stirring up conflict or division. You ever heard about the guy that argued with a signpost and took the wrong way home? I mean, you can say good morning. What's good about it? I don't say anything good. Everything is a conflict, is a battle. And I love that word peaceable. A peaceable spirit values unity and strives to resolve disagreements. How? With patience and understanding. How? By demonstrating the calm influence of God's wisdom in every situation. I hope you're seeing it already. My life could really change if I began to look at these characteristics and get right with God and honest with God and begin to say, God, give me courage and power to live them. You won't live them perfectly. You're going to mess up. But you get right back up. You confess it to God. You get right back up in your walk with him. Wisdom from God leads believers to build bridges, not walls. It avoids needless conflict. I have to admit that sometimes, because of my sarcasm and because of my quick wit and because of an untamed tongue sometimes, that I say things and then I regret them. We had in our neighborhood, gave out candy, some gave out tracts and different things to kids. There were over 2,000, 2,500 people come through our neighborhood. I spent over $250 on candy and ran out an hour and a half. Our grandchildren were handing it out. I said, Riley, Kate, hand out one piece at a time or two at the most. If it's the good stuff, hand one piece. Well, boy, they got a Christian generous spirit. And anyway, my grandson wanted, I fixed the big pot of chili, so if friends came by, we could say, you want some chili and come in, you know, try to make it a community thing. And my grandson said, Papa, why don't you do sausage? I love sausage like a chili dog. And so my grandson gets what he wants. So I fixed a bunch of bun-length sausage. So it wasn't difficult for him to figure it out. And so I did that, and Nancy walks in the middle, it was about halfway through, and she walks in, and she goes, where are the hot dogs? I said, well, Logan wanted sausage. Chili sausage. And she said, well, I wanted hot dog. And I said, well, go get some. When I said that, don't you wish you could go? I'm telling you right now, I knew it was wrong. And so I said, Nancy, I am so sorry. If you want hot dogs, I'll go get you hot dogs. I don't want them now. Women. Can't live with them. Can't live without them. We're blessed by you ladies. I'm telling you, I don't know where I'd be without. I started to say without ladies, but without Nessie. Okay, I digress. So here it is, peaceable. Hebrews 12:14. Listen to this. Peace is pursued with everyone. The Bible says in Romans 12, as much as possible, live at peace with all men, especially the household of God, but live at peace with. We tend to think if somebody disagrees with us or if we get in, that we just got to write them off. My way or the highway, man. And Christians act that way sometimes. We've got to learn that, man, we're in the world. We're not of the world. We got the good news of the gospel. We're to be patient with people who don't understand the things of God. They're spiritually blind. And we would be right where they are if the Spirit of God hadn't awakened us to the truth of God. We'd have been right there. So we're patient with them. And yet, so many times, if a spouse or somebody says something we don't like, we got to make it an issue. We've got to win in that conversation. Every time we try to win in a conversation, you're really not going to accomplish a whole lot, but you are going to stir up frustration and anger. That will happen in those areas when we try to do that. So what does gentleness look like? See, a lot of people, we looked at this last week, think gentleness is basically the same word as meekness, which means that strength under control. The world looks at it, and many Christians, as a thing of weakness. Have you ever noticed that people, when we deal with them and we talk about this, they say, well, I'm not that. Nobody's gonna tell me what to do. Nobody's going to walk on me. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. And that's not what the word means. Who's the strongest person ever walked this earth? Jesus. Amen? Jesus. Well, listen to my Savior in Matthew 11:29. Listen to this. The all-powerful, omnipotent Son of God said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. The omnipotent Son of God walked in humility and grace, and he was gentle. That was his total strength under control. So what does it look like? It means listening instead of reacting. Seeking to understand something before you jump out on it. The simple listening. A statement I learned years ago that's helped me is that seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Is that not pretty good stuff? Have you ever listened, and you couldn't wait till they hushed so you could really straighten them out? You could really tell them the truth of God? Or most of the time it's not spiritual things. It's that we want to win in that conversation. It's the disagreement we have. It's things like that that cause us most of our problems. But Philippians 4:5 said, let your gentleness be evident to all. My question to us today is, are we known for our gentleness? And what I mean by that, our listening before reacting. You might disagree with them. You might, it might even get, but that's why the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. All of us, I had married a couple one time and saw them a year later, and I said, how are things going? And they said, we have never had a disagreement. Now, I wanted to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. But me being the diplomat that I am, I said, you've never even had, like, one wanting to go to the restaurant, one go. No, we are perfect together. They were divorced 2 years later. Folks, we all need improvement. We all need the grace of God. We all need to understand. Hey, there are places in my life that really is that way to sin. It just, I struggle with it. But I want you to show me grace, because I struggle. But I have a tendency to turn around and not show you grace. If we understand that we're in need of the grace of God and the power of God and the presence of God, and I have that lacking sometimes in my life, why don't I love you that way and give you grace and give you patience and give you understanding? Wouldn't we be better off? I mean, to think about that, it's just amazing to me how these seven characteristics we look at, okay, where am I in being pure? Where am I in being gentle? Where am I in being peaceful? Am I a promoter of that? Or am I kind of antagonistic against those things? What am I known for? What am I known for? Well, people say, boy, he's hot-tempered. He got a short fuse. You don't want to light that fuse. He can be so nice to you, and you say something, boom. You know what the Bible says? You know what the word patience means? You know what it means? Long-fused. Long-fused. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us could really benefit by being a little longer fuse? I mean, we get in all kinds of trouble. You know, we get in an argument. I was counseling a couple one time, and everything seemed to be a battlefield. And so I said, I see y'all not progressing a whole lot. And so here's what I want you to do. When you're discussing your conflicts, and it sounds like you have quite a few, when you're in the heat of that, the emotions take control, just do this. Time out. Break away. Calm down. Let the emotions get there. Start dealing with grace and fact and dealing with truth. So you'll be better off. They come in the next week. She said, what you said doesn't work. So I quit counseling. I said, I'm no good at it. So I said, what do you mean? She said, well, we had us a conflict. We both got real emotional, and he got in my face and went... She said, that thoroughly ticked me. You don't do it like that, man. It's, baby, let's take time out. I see we're not getting anywhere here. Let me take you to lunch. Anyway, something like that. Number four. This is a goodie. Now, where is this coming from? What are we talking about? The book of James, the most practical Christian living book in the whole Bible. You want to learn how to practically live the things of God on a daily basis? You go to that book. That's why in my short ministry here, we're in the book of James, because we need to understand that living faith demonstrates itself. We need to understand that true peace comes from that which is sown in righteousness, and it comes because we have wisdom, then we'll plant those things. But notice he says open to reason. You know what that means? Willingness to yield. Be a little flexible. Be teachable. Have you ever been around people you can't teach them anything? I mean, you say something and they got And you know what you're saying is true, but they're just not going to have anything to do with it, because don't mix me up and mess me up with facts. I've got my mind made up. You ever been around people like that? I mean, they just got it. And so here, James says, be open to reason. What does that mean? It means heavenly wisdom is not stubborn or proud. It listens, it learns, it yields when appropriate. Now, some of you are saying, well, I believe you ought to stand on truth. I do too. I do. I think you ought to die for truth. You can do what I'm talking about without compromising truth. We're not talking about peace at any price. We're not talking about going along to get along. Well, I don't want to cause any problems. I just won't say anything. I know where they're headed. It's destructive, but I'm just not going to say anything because I don't want to lose a friend. I don't want to be controversial. When you're open to reason, it's not compromising truth for the sake of peace. And if you did, that's a false peace, right? That's not a true peace. That's not a peace that's from above that we've looked at. The teachable spirit ensures that truth is never compromised, ever. Yet pride and stubbornness is replaced with humility and growth. Would we be better off if we replace that pride and that stubbornness for God's grace and God's patience in that person's life? Such wisdom recognizes the value of advice. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. And there might be some people that can say some things, even out of the mouth of babes, that you can learn from, you can benefit from, to help you draw closer to God and your witness with Christ. Listen to Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool. I would write that one down and read it a couple of times this week. The way of the fool, Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is, it's right in his own eyes. I'm a fool if I think I'm right in my own eyes. I'm being deceived in areas. But a wise man listens to advice. And then notice the fifth characteristic. By the way, how are we doing? God doesn't grade on a curve now. Well, I think I'm better than 80% of those people that go to fellowship. If you're 80% right, you're 20% wrong. Or as I like to say it, when it comes to salvation, if you think you got 80% worked, you're 100% lost. I thought that was better than how it come across. Look at number 5. Full of mercy and good fruits. What is that? Full of mercy. It is compassion in action. Wisdom shows itself in deeds of kindness and care. Notice, full of mercy. What does that mean? It means it's not an occasional thing that you, I want to be full of mercy. It's a constant demonstration that is defining of your character. Well, people say you're full of mercy. I know one thing, that person will give me benefit of the doubt. Full means your cup overflows with mercy. It means that your cup runs over with mercy. Mercy is not an emotional thing. It's action. For instance, on Family and Friend Day, all of us have certain family members and friends we'd like to see get right with the Lord. We'd like to see get involved in church where there's encouragement, there's hope. We'd like that. If you're a Christian, you certainly should like that because you've got eternity in mind. They're going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. That's going to happen. So if you have family member and friends, you should have a love for them, a concern for them. And so therefore you want to show emotions. But if it's just emotions, oh man, I just get so emotional when I think of my family, when I think of my friends. The opportunity for God to work his transforming power in their lives is not by being emotional with them, but by showing actions of love and concern for them. And even gently confronting them with the things of God. I mean, good intention. What's that saying? Hell is paved with good intentions. None of us want to see harm come to our family or our friends, but yet are we showing mercy toward them? Because true wisdom, I know this is in your face, but true wisdom bears fruit. It bears fruit. It shows up in action, not talk, not just emotion. If you had an apple tree and you planted it, and 10 years later it never bore one apple, would you be satisfied with that tree? Not one. See, it's not just calling it an apple tree, it's that apple tree bearing fruit. You know what Jesus said about that? Jesus has a lot to say about what we're talking about. He says, every good tree bears good fruit. Every good tree, use the term, good Christian bears good fruit. Without that, what did Jesus say? I'll prune it, throw it in fire, you know. Our lives are to be lived not in this pressure thing of I've got to do this, I've got to do that, but in the aspect of God, thank you. Did God show mercy to you? Well, let's start there. The mercy of God means God has shown mercy to me. when it was undeserved. Not when you were good, because you're not. But when I didn't care about the things of God, God showed mercy to me. Can I not show mercy to the undeserving? You say, well, I got this guy at work and I wouldn't invite him to do anything. I mean, he doesn't deserve nothing. Then you got a proud heart because you didn't deserve anything either. And God showed you mercy. Are we full of mercy and good works? In other words, wisdom produces peace. And true peace is that calmness. It's not chaos. If your life is in chaos, you're missing it. You think God wants you to live in confusion and chaos and conflict? No, he said it's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And where peace reigns in our hearts, there will be a righteous growth. That's good soil. And that will infiltrate a church, your home, your own life will be at peace with God. See, a farmer knows that the soil that you plant in determines the crop you're going to have. Good crop, good seed, there will be a good harvest. The Bible pictures seeds and soil together. When you walk from heavenly wisdom, that gives good soil to plant good seed, and you're going to then reap righteousness, which will equal peace. Right living equals peace. To break this cycle, you got to get serious with it. We're so bound by habit and so bound by the things that we do that we just do almost automatically. In other words, think of a father who grows up in a home that's absolutely abusive, and things in that home is filled with anger and criticism. But that parent decides that he or she wants a different kind of family. They don't want the battlefield. Do you know the safest place for you to fall should be in the home? What I mean by that is there should be understanding and love and patience in the home. And I'm going to say the same thing about the church. Church should be a place you can come, and if you have needs and you have situations you're facing, you should be able to relax and say, I know I can get encouragement there. I know I can get hope there. I need to be around my Christian friends in a place called the church. So this dad, he doesn't want to bring up his children that way where there's criticism and chaos. And so he makes a decision. He breaks from that. And what he does, he practices patience, admits mistakes, shows love and respect, brings them up in an atmosphere of calm, respect, and love. But guess what? He is sowing peace in that home. Right? He's sowing peace in that home. What's he going to get? He's going to get peace in that home, which results in right living. I mean, think about it. Why are divorces at 50, 55%? Why are second divorces, second time, 67%, 60 to 70? Why is third time marriages into divorces? We haven't changed the way we live. You can be in this situation, take that same attitude and action into another relationship, you're going to get the same thing. I just need to marry somebody that's worthy of me. Really? Then you would be marrying a witch. All right, look at this. Conclusion. What James is teaching here, let me simplify it. He's teaching that peaceful people produce peaceful results. Peaceful people produce peaceful results in the home, at church, at work, in your own life. Your heart will be at peace with God. The Bible says in Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So I'm a Christian. I have peace with God. Full peace. Tremendous peace in my life. So what's the conclusion? Like I said, when we started this out, you'll have no excuse after today. You may not be obedient to it. And I just want to encourage you to take seriously what's been spoken today. You say, well, it's so practical. I know I need to do it. That doesn't count. Get right with God. Clearly, you see what he says for there to be peace in your life. It is wisdom from above. And that wisdom leads to peace with God, with others, and yourself. And so the bottom line is, earthly wisdom bites for control. Am I telling you the truth? You know, if you're in earthly wisdom, bites for control. Heavenly wisdom surrenders to Christ. So what I want us to do now is bow our heads, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, block everything out. Everything out. And listen carefully. What are we going to do with what we've heard today? What are we going to do? Nothing. Just another service. Just another sermon. I can check the box. I came to church. I listened to a sermon. Is that how you're going to live today? Is that what you're going to do with what you heard? Or will you ask God to give you wisdom? To let his wisdom shape your speech, guide your decisions that flow through your relationship with God and with others. Listen to me carefully. When the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, rules your heart, the wisdom from above will shine through your life. It'll shine in your home. It'll shine in your church. It'll shine in your heart. Will you ask daily? Ask daily. Am I acting out of earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom? See, God's calling us to lay down the wisdom of the world and to seek the wisdom that comes from above. Maybe you're fighting with control. You're trying to control family, trying to control children, trying to control things. Maybe you're competing for recognition. Or you're speaking words that have torn down instead of build up. Maybe your heart has been restless and divided. You just know something's not there. Can you hear the Holy Spirit right now saying to you, can you hear God saying to you, come to me, let me give you wisdom that brings peace. Take a moment to reflect on that. Is my life producing peace or confusion? Am I living with humility or pride? Oh, I challenge us today to ask God to fill us with his wisdom. Wisdom that shows kindness, mercy, gentleness toward others. Father, help us to live with your wisdom, not the world's. Most of us know what results comes from that. God, teach us to walk humbly, to speak gently, to sow peace wherever we go. God, I ask of you to just convict us to sow peace in our homes, our church, our community, our world, in order that we might reap a harvest of righteousness, a harvest, not a scarcity, a harvest of righteousness. May our lives show that we belong to you. No doubt, we belong to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.